Chapter 13. The official description of the bullet Jesse found lodged in the wall near the television set was projectile evidence. He put on the crime scene gloves he kept in a drawer in his bathroom, carefully dug out the bullet, and bagged it. In the morning, he would have one of his cops on duty drive it to the state lab, where they'd measure the lands and grooves that cut into bullets as they spun through the barrel. Essentially a way of fingerprinting the gun that had fired it, and compare the results against the larger database to determine if the gun had been used in a previous crime. Jesse had already applied his own eye test to the bullet and would have placed a significant bet on it being a .223, which meant the gun that fired it was likely an AR-15.
"I love it when they call them sport rifles," Molly said.
"Tonight somebody was hunting me," Jesse said. He'd collected his glove and ball from the terrace. When Jesse had told Molly what had happened, she'd said, "I'll never make fun of baseball ever again." "Finally," he'd said. He had called her after calling the station because he knew he was just opening himself up to a world of hurt if he waited until morning to tell her about the shooting. He'd asked her if they should awaken suit, too. Molly told Jesse there was no need. If the two of them couldn't find the bullet, they should think about doing something else for a living, maybe opening a bowling alley. By now, Jesse had changed into dry clothes and brewed a pot of coffee. He was still riding an adrenaline high, and now so was Molly, who had come to like police work as much as Jesse did, a late bloomer. Molly wore a gray sweatshirt that miraculously had no writing of any kind that Jesse could see, or logo, jeans, running shoes, a PPD ball cap. It was one of those moments when Jesse could see clearly the girl she had been, but what she would look like when Molly was old at the same time.
"So we have now had two shootings in our little town in less than a week," Molly said. "We both know what the chief of police always says about coincidence."
"No way God would leave that much to chance," Jesse said. The clock on the kitchen wall said it was 12:45. Nearly 3 hours since whoever tried to shoot Jesse had taken the shot. "It was a long gun with me," Jesse said, "a .22 with Paul."
"The guy could own more than one," Molly said.
"There's no connection between Paul and me.
Other than AA.
Totally random."
"Or not," Molly said. "I'd refer you back to what you just said about coincidence."
She looked at him. Big brown eyes, alive and alert despite the hour and circumstances.
"You are lucky tonight, Jesse," she said.
"And me, usually, with the surest hands in the men's softball league."
"It's not funny, damn it," she said. "And then you go chasing after the guy in the storm."
"I remember reading something once about why this guy loved Gunga Din," Jesse said. "He talked about stupid courage." They both drank coffee. Maybe they both knew they weren't going to do much sleeping.
"Really stupid," she said.
"Good thing Suit's not here," Jesse said. "You know how he hates it when Mom and Dad fight in front of him."
"I'm not his mom," she said, "or your wife." He smiled.
"I tell Suit all the time I don't need another wife," he said. "I've got you to tell me what to do."
"Shut up," she said.
"See, there?" But she was smiling back at him. They sat across the butcher block table from each other, just a few feet, but all of their shared history between them. History and love and respect and friendship. He had left the terrace door open, a crack. The sound of the ocean was much fainter than it had been a few hours before, the east wind barely more than a whisper. "Maybe the guy who shot Paul thinks he told me something, or thinks I know something I shouldn't," Jesse said. "Even though I really don't know shit at this point."
"You're assuming the shooter is a guy," Molly said.
Figure of speech.
"But if it's not the same shooter," Molly said, "you're telling me some rando tried to shoot the chief of police tonight."
"If it's someone I previously pissed off," Jesse said, "we'd be talking about a pretty long list."
"Most of the ones you've pissed off the most are either dead or in jail," Molly said.
"It's where AA tells you drunks end up if they don't stop," Jesse said.
We can still start compiling a list of possibles in the morning, Molly said. She took her cup to the sink, emptied the last of the coffee, rinsed it, opened the door to the dishwasher, and placed it inside. Then she told him not to get up, leaned over and kissed him on the cheek, and left. Jesse sat there for a few minutes after she was gone, staring at the bullet in the baggie on the table in front of him, picturing himself dropping the ball and turning to reach down for it. He got up and shut off the kitchen light, locked the terrace door, and headed for his bedroom, thinking, maybe there was shit God left a chance after all.